If you're just tuning in, this is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. You're tuned into the Kenai Conversation. I'm Sabine Pooks. The borough's making some changes to its elections this year, from additions to the election code to ADA-compliant voting machines. We asked Borough Clerk Johnny Blankenship to walk us through those changes. She says they won't likely be noticeable to voters when they come in to vote or send in their ballots ahead of the election.
Those codes basically codified our current process, making sure that we do logic and accuracy testing on all the tabulators, not once but twice. The only difference was that the code required that they be done in public, and we did conduct those, as you know, you saw, and we didn't, other than the media, we didn't have any public participation, but we did notice it, and they, of course, were welcome to come on in. There's also going to be, the election workers are going to see differences because they're going to see a lot more security measures and transfers in custody and things that we've always done before, but we're just beefing it up.
How important is it to you guys that people can see those points in the process and feel comfortable and secure in knowing that the votes are tabulated in a way that's fair?
Oh, it's very important. There's been a lot of concerns about elections, as you know, and it's a process we've always had in place, but if it helps the voters to actually see how the ballot travels from prior to being voted to being voted and then being back here and being counted, I think that's a wonderful process for them to be able to see. I would love to have more people participate in it.
How does the ballot travel from when the time a person receives that ballot to when it becomes counted?
So there's a couple different scenarios. So we have absentee in-person voting, we have by-mail voting, we have absentee by-mail voting, we have polling site voting. So let's just take what the majority of people do, which is the polling site. So those ballots are printed by a local printer, and then when they are delivered here, they are accounted for by myself and then and another individual. And then we, you know, have the everything signed off on that we got the ballots that we ordered. And then they are then put into the boxes for their each precinct, and then they go to the regional coordinator. The regional coordinator will then have the precinct chair do a ballot accountability at that point. And then once the chair confirms that they were receiving the ballots that they were supposed to receive, then those are secured into a transport trolley, which is then not opened again until election day. And once those ballots are voted, the precinct workers will do they'll do a ballot accountability statement, which accounts for every single ballot, whether it is voted in person, voted question, voted special needs, and whether it is spoiled, you know, damaged, whatever. Every single ballot is accounted for, and any ballot that is not voted will then be destroyed. Then those are then sealed and then transported to back to the regional coordinator, who then takes custody of those things and then seals them again before they go to the Canvas Review Board for auditing.
It's quite an extensive process. Mm-hmm. Absentee voting has already started. Mm-hmm. How popular does absentee voting tend to be in the borough?
Absentee in-person voting, or voting prior to election day, is very popular in the borough, and it increases in popularity. I mean, as you know, this is a place where we have what we call snowbirds, and those are the folks that like to get out of here before it gets too cold, and they all take advantage of that earlier voting process. So I see it only growing in popularity. Also, the absentee by mail is very popular.
And there are several communities in the borough that only vote by mail, correct?
That is correct. So we have six precincts that are, you know, a little off the beaten trail. So we have Moose Pass, Cooper Landing, Hope, Fox River, which is kind of East End Road, Seldovia, Kachemak Bay, and Tyonic.
When are those ballots tabulated and counted?
So if the ones that we've received on or before Election Day and they've been reviewed will be counted on Election Day. And then we will continue to allow those to trickle in prior to certification. As long as they have been postmarked on or before Election Day, they will be included in the final results.
Are there any kind of intricacies to voting absentee that people need to know about?
Not really. The nice thing about absentee in person is that it's more convenient for the voter. It is a little bit more time consuming for the voter because they do have to complete that oath and affidavit envelope. This year, because of the Human Rights Conciliation Agreement, we do have voting tablets available for anybody who may need additional assistance. And it's basically just a very large ballot marking device, which doesn't tabulate anything. It just, again, will print, help them to vote their ballot, and then it'll print that for them, and then that gets put into the same oath and affidavit envelope as the other ballots.
Yeah, and speaking of that agreement and those tablets, we have these new voting machines this year, and can you kind of walk us through a little bit of the lead up to how we got to this point? There was a complaint lodged in 2015, and then what happened between then and now to kind of lead the way for these new machines?
So when the complaint was lodged in 2015, we set out our process, and it was determined by the Human Rights Commission that that was not going to be adequate. So we then set forward the path of having the Election Stakeholders Group. The Election Stakeholders Group met every 2 weeks for 6 months, and their recommendation was to take the Kenai Peninsula Borough to by-mail elections. That was then put into an ordinance, which passed, and then it was repealed by the voters in 2019. So in order to then comply with the Human Rights Conciliation Agreement, we had to purchase equipment that was going to allow us to comply with that. And so we have to have an ADA compliant piece of equipment at every polling location. And so that is what we've done. It did take some time. And we, you know, there's been a lot of election discussion as of late. And so it took some time to get through some things. And that is, I believe, why you have the new election and integrity security section of our ordinance code, of our election code.
You guys recently did the testing on the machines, like you had mentioned. What did you learn from that process? And is there anything you're excited about with these machines in particular that you kind of gleaned from that?
I'm very excited about the new machines. I think that the tabulators they're interesting in that they're different than the old ones because they actually scan an image of the ballot in case there was ever any, you know, contesting of the election or anything like that. We have an actual images of all the ballots that went through that machine, not just the results. So that's interesting and new. Because of that, it does take the ballot a little bit longer. So it takes about 10 seconds versus the old machines where it would just feed right through because it is taking an image. So we're going to ask for people's patience on that. And then the voting tablet is very easy to use. We've used it with all the different, you know, components that are available with the ATI and then the headphones, and it's very easy to use. It, like I said, it's just a ballot marking device, which then prints off your voted ballot, and then that voter can still put that ballot through the same precinct scanner as everybody else.
Have you heard back from anyone who's used the machines so far?
No, it's only day two. We did have our absentee voting official here at the borough went ahead and used the machine and voted her ballot that way so that she would know how to use it. And it was pretty slick.
You mentioned, of course, we're in this moment when people are thinking a lot about election security. This past year, it's come up in a myriad different ways. But just kind of zooming out, is this something that comes up every couple years? When's the last time kind of we thought about changes to our election code or our voting machines?
So I've known that we were going to need to do something for a while because we were using the state's machines, and they were over 20 years old. They were a very reliable machine, but they just no longer were serviced, and no longer people were making parts for them. So when they would break, they were not really fixable. And then also the vendor was no longer, like I said, providing any management services for those machines. The software I was using to program the election was also incredibly antiquated, and the IT director definitely wanted me to get something different. Now, the difference between then and now is that our election server is completely air-gapped. It is not connected to the borough's network in any way, shape, or form, or anything else. And it is in a room that has windows all around it, so anybody can come and watch what we're doing there and what's happening in there. The whole system, like I said, is air-gapped in one individual room that is all now locked up. So that's a little bit of a change. But again, we have nothing to hide, and so we encourage people to come watch.
How much do you kind of pay attention to what other boroughs and municipalities around the state are doing?
So the clerk's network in Alaska is pretty amazing. We share a lot of information, and we always share best practices and lessons learned. So every November we get together and we talk about things we've learned throughout the election process, and we takeaways. And rely heavily on that group.
That's really neat. Is there anything in particular that you've learned from those other clerks, or that comes up kind of in conversation with other clerks around the state?
So the SIDCA has been using the voting tablets and the new ICP, the precinct scanners, for a couple years now, and she sent me all of her procedures and manuals and things like that, which was super helpful. And so the state of Alaska doesn't use the voting tablets at their absentee stations. They only use them at their early voting stations, and there is a difference. But SIDCA uses them at their absentee stations. The requirement I had was to use them at every voting location, no matter what. And so it was nice to be able to work with Sarah from SIDCA and get those procedures that she had already drafted.
What about other communities in South Central? Are they using these sorts of voting machines as well, or are they still using kind of the old systems?
Honestly, I don't know the answer to that. I know that a lot of people are moving to the new systems. I know that some of them are able to collaborate with the state of Alaska and use their systems, their machines, because they're not required at this point to have those ADA compliant pieces, which, because the borough had the complaint filed, we now have the spotlight on us. So until other communities are required to do that, I don't know if they're going to make those purchases as well. I mean, right now we own 10 of those machines and we are leasing everything else. And so at the end of 2 years, we'll see how things go and probably we'll be bringing forward an ordinance to appropriate funds to purchase the rest of our own equipment.
Is there anything else that's different about this election cycle that folks can keep an eye out for?
We had something happen this year that I've never seen before. And that is, in certain locations within the borough, there is nothing for people to vote on. So lower half of the Kasiloff precinct, upper half of the Nanilchik precinct, and Calgon Island don't have anything to vote on because they are in a area where it's District 7. There's no school board race. There's no assembly race. And the service area that they are in is appointed. So there's no... It's just a very interesting year.
That's something you've never seen before?
I've never seen that before.
Borough residents can request absentee by mail ballots until September 28th. Absentee in-person voting in the borough started this week. You can request a ballot on the borough's website at kpb.us. You can call for assistance at 741-VOTE. Voter turnout in the Kenai Peninsula borough is consistently low. And in years when there are no national races on the ballot, like this one, turnout can be even lower. Alex Coplin is one of the co-founders of Kenai Peninsula Votes, a nonpartisan group that wants to increase voter turnout locally. The group's slogan is, "We don't care how you vote, as long as you do." Coplin says he already voted absentee, and he encourages everyone to develop a plan ahead of elections October 5th. When did Kenai Peninsula Votes get started?
Good question. Right when I retired from teaching, so 2016, we started with a forum at Islands and Oceans out here with about 50 people talking about voting in elections. And we had a lot of young people, and it was just a wonderful discussion about voting. And now if I wanted to do that discussion, I don't think it would turn out as well, just because things changed so much since we started Kenai Peninsula Votes, or KPV.
What do you mean? What changed?
I think there was more trust in elections, and I think over the years we've had a message of mistrust where, you know, people like me that know the election people in Alaska and in our state, we have our elections are, there's the misinformation or the propaganda that's being used to say that absentee mail-in voting doesn't work and there's all this fraud. We never had that issue in 2016 when we did that forum. We never even discussed it. We trusted the system, even though there's always going to be a little stuff going on. You know, I'm from Chicago. But all in all, the elections have been fair and they've been tight. And we've had some chat issues back way back when the Supreme Court had to make a decision. And slowly it's deteriorated. And I would say the last administration came out and said, you know, if you vote by mail, it won't work. It's it doesn't play. And that kind of message, we've done it in our borough. We've been voting by mail for 20 years, six precincts, done a beautiful job with it. Our borough does, and our municipalities, and on the Kenai, those borough clerks, they are superb and they're trustworthy. And this information that absentee balloting and mail-in voting isn't fair is just, it's really nonsense.
So how do you as an organization and as an individual kind of work to build up that trust? Do you find that educating people on the process is a good way to fortify people's trust in the way voting works here in the borough?
The mistrust issue right now, we don't deal with because I think it's more of a national issue. In Alaska, I think we haven't changed any of our laws in the last couple of years, and it's pretty good. So we talk about the issues, you know, who the candidates are and what their values are. And the hardest thing is, you know, voter turnout's important, but the education piece of explaining to people, you know, we had ballot one, ballot two last year in November. That had a lot of complications in it in terms of understanding what it was trying to say. And it's trying to get, what I'd love to do is just get a clear message to the voters about where each candidate stands so it's not real complicated. So candidate A, where do you stand on climate control? Candidate A, where do you stand on if you have a disagreement about a property line, how would you best go about dealing with it? Would you know, what would be your process? What are some of your values that you bring in to the race as a person? You know, do you have and some of these questions, you know, or answers, you're not always going to get the one, but that's where it becomes so complicated. There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of, and you're talking to Uncle Joe and Uncle Sam and Uncle and Aunt Mary, and you're getting their points of view. You know, that works for about 25% of the voters. We have 75% that won't vote this election in October. That's, you know, our turnout the last 10 years has been average 23%.
It sounds like what you're saying is one obstacle to having higher voter turnout is that people maybe don't feel confident that they understand where candidates stand on issues.
The obstacles that are in the way of people voting is life. I mean, We've worked over many places where we've done voter questions. Frankly, a lot of people said, you know, man, I'm busy. I don't have time for this. You know, they don't see the connection with government and their lives. They have a lot of things going on. And the other thing is, it'd be nice if we could, you know, there is a bill up in Congress that's talking about having a day, a holiday for voting. I mean, voting seems to be a rushed issue and it seems complicated and it's not as much fun as it used to be. Even though for me, I do love it. And, you know, I voted yesterday absentee. I got my mail in, my absentee ballot mailed in. I'm done for voting. We make it easy, but I talk to people a lot and it's like, Alex, I didn't know there was an election coming up. Or Alex, who's running for school board? I don't know. How do I find this out? And it's like each conversation takes a while. And there's a lot of people that don't know what's going on. And it's not their fault because, well, I can't say whose fault it is because it doesn't do any good to blame anybody. The information's out there if you want to find it. But it does take work.
What do you think are some of the misconceptions that people have about voting and about elections locally?
I think that's everybody has their own viewpoint. You know, I'm in my 60s, so I grew up and voting was just part of the plan. You know, that's what we did. Our technology's changed. Our lives have changed. The people that don't vote, I don't get mad at all. I think everybody has their choice. You know, Australia has compulsory voting. We don't. Everybody wants their dividend, though, that's for sure. I mean, I think there's a lot of disconnect between what government does and how it can impact you and how it can help you if you pay attention enough. They sort of are the people that sort of keep an eye on things. And for the borough, they're just trying to keep our infrastructure running solidly and making sure that roads and schools are in good shape. And I guess septic is what I heard too at the last meeting. There's a disconnect too. I think the people, they don't attend the borough meetings. Some do, but it's really just a handful of people that are really involved with what goes on and how government operates. And it's a cultural thing. We've talked with some visionaries and, you know, we are nonpartisan because we want everybody to vote. We don't care who you vote for, but vote and be educated. But we are partisan about you should have as many opportunities as you can vote as possible to make it more accessible so it's not a chore. You know, October 5th comes and goes, oh, I thought I was going to vote and I forgot. Well, in our book, you should have had the plan before you voted way before October 5th. You know, have a plan, go study do it like an assignment, like it's a job, instead of just not even thinking about it and going, oh, well, you know, who cares who's a school board candidate or who cares who's going to be on city council in Kenai or Soldotna. And those things, you know, sorry, they have an impact. And it's going to take people realizing that it's really going to help us make a difference in that area. And that's just a cultural shift.
To take it a little bit out of the abstract, you know, can you tell us a little bit about your voting plan, how you voted this year in terms of what the absentee voting process was like for you? And maybe what's one thing that is decided at the city or borough level that you think about when you go to vote?
Okay, so when I go to vote for the borough, I do think about my representatives. So if I have an issue well, we just dealt for the last year on mail-in voting. I mean, that was a huge thing that went through the borough and it passed. And then there was a proposition that did away with it. But we, you know, the borough had all that power and we almost had mail-in voting. So I'm a strong proponent. And so we lost that. But we also have it real easy. You know, we're in no excuse state to get absentee ballot, which is great. So I went online back in January, I applied for my absentee ballot from the borough. I got it on Monday, and my wife and I are sitting at the table. She goes, well, let's go vote right now. You know who you're going to vote for. I said, oh, no, come on. But, you know, I procrastinate. So I did. So I used my pen and I had to read it three times. I did all that and I circled it in and we sent it out. And now, meanwhile, I voted on two things for school board seat where I live, District 8. It was just school board seat and it was service area boards that they were unopposed. So really, I only voted on one thing. And that's the other reason. People don't want to go and vote. Oh, I'm only voting on one thing. Why do I have to go? You know. And that's why absentee for me works really nice. I'm done. And this year, I got my I voted sticker. I mean, I'm like a pig in mud now because, you know, normally you get it after you go to the polls and vote. And, you know, with the COVID and all and what I'm dealing with, I don't really want to go to the polls. And I've been a poll. And people have to remember, though, that once you do absentee, they get counted later. So you're not going to get those results you want on election night. It's always like, oh, who won? Who won? You know, last year in the borough, we had 4,500 people vote absentee. That was a record. And Johnny and her crew had to, you know, check those signatures and all, and they did a fantastic job.
Well, is there anything else, Alex, that you'd like to add about this year's elections?
You know, it's an off-year election. There's three precincts aren't even voting on anything. Talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, talk to your coworkers, and explain to them that that voting is our best way to voice how we feel on things. And a lot of people don't have feelings about certain things, and I get that. But the people that do, you know, if you're complaining about whatever, if you don't vote, they say, well, you can't complain. Well, again, we have plenty of people complaining that don't vote. And whatever you can do, you can reach out to these clerks. You can reach out to Kenai Peninsula Votes Facebook, ask questions. We'll call, we'll help, nonpartisan, except for how to, you know, we want you to be able to vote any way you want to. So that's all I got to say.
That was Alex Coplin with Kenai Peninsula Votes. This has been another election edition of the Kenai Conversation. I'm Sabine Fuchs. Thanks for tuning in.